Welcome to another All Business Podcast. This is Ted Schubel. Thank you for bringing us up on your phone or your computer or wherever you are listening. We talk with area business owners here, the people that make the region work. When we come back, we're all business.
The All Business Podcast is supported by Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Most folks who work here love living here, and that makes a difference. At Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, they're proud to work the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
We're at Liberty Town Arts Workshop, 916 Liberty Street in downtown Fredericksburg with artist Bill Harris. Bill, it is an honor and it's great to be in here with you in your studio. You're usually in my studio. Right, I'm right. In yours.
Yeah, we're indoors. I think the last couple times you've been out in the heat helping me finish a mural or two.
How did you get involved in art? I know Johnny Johnson told me a few weeks ago when I talked to him, and he was telling me that his mother told him he always would be doodling on paper. I wonder, is that similar to you?
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, just nonstop drawing and doodling and not really thinking that you're going to try to make a living at it, but just something you did. Like you would just, like I remember being a little kid drawing little paper cars and cutting them out and then playing with them. And it was just never ending. I just don't remember a time where I didn't do it.
When did it all of a sudden occur to you that this could be something that you could do more full time?
I think it was slow. I mean, I think when I was in high school, I started getting paid to do murals in like nurseries and things like that. And it never really occurred to me that you could make a living doing a soul living. I thought, well, I can make some side money doing this but it just, you know, grew over time. You know, I've been doing it for close to 30 years now. So it's really grown where maybe the first 5 or 6 years I wouldn't even have foreseen the way that I could have made a living doing it.
I guess the internet has changed how
it has for some, but I don't really think it has a lot of effect on me, you know, because I really started before it and I don't really rely on it much and I don't really get a lot of sales from it. Really, the only thing that it does for me is I have like an online portfolio where if somebody's interested, they can go there and see the work. But really, most of my sales come from face-to-face. You know, a big chunk of what I do is commission work and then gallery sales, but it's all mostly face-to-face.
Isn't that interesting? Because usually you hear from just about everything today is the internet has changed or technology has changed.
Well, no doubt. And I know plenty of artists that make most of their living, I suppose, like on Snapchat and Facebook. And it's a big, big part of it. It just hasn't, I guess I'm not saying I don't need it, but it just hasn't been a part of my world, really, yet. I don't foresee it happening. I like it. I have a pretty full website of a lot of paintings, but it's not something that generates income for me.
How would you describe what you, because in looking at some of your stuff online and trying to figure out what you do kind of a smattering of everything.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I like people. I like painting people, and that always is interesting to me. But it's also interesting to bounce back and forth. So, like the painting we're sitting here in front of right now is a very time-consuming architectural rendering of a building, which I enjoy doing. But the next thing I do will be totally opposite of this, and it's sort of to keep it interesting and fun, and then, you know, this would be a really, really tight painting. So maybe my next painting will be really loose. And, you know, that's fun for me. I would be bored out of my mind if I just kept painting buildings after buildings or people after people, you know, the same thing over and over again.
That is, boy, you do see a wide variety of what you do. And I guess that's just kind of your personality, too.
Yeah. And again, it just keeps it interesting and fun. And I'm always curious. And I think we talked about this with the murals. Everything is a puzzle. You know, every painting is a puzzle. And it's just trying to solve it and then really then move on to something else that is equally as interesting.
You've done a lot of things. Because I sit in here and I look around because you've got by the train station, some buildings over near the train station. I mean, you've got Hyperion. You do a lot of around town.
I try.
Pictures.
Yeah, this is probably a good example of what I do over a longer period of time. But the holidays, I'll do 20 little paintings. New ones for the holidays, because little paintings sell around the holidays. There's a lot of people coming in for them. But maybe a third of them are buildings and scenes of the town. Maybe a third of them are figurative ones, you know, figurative models, things like that. And then maybe a third of them are still lifes of things. So I think all in all, that's probably a good example of what I do over a year's period, a good mix of things. I'll tell you what's funny is my, if you come into my studio, and this happens a lot, is the paintings that I don't sell, or that are harder to sell, that I do sell but over a longer period of time, are the figurative ones. So when you come into my studio, you'll see there's a lot of nudes or there's a lot of figurative ones. It's not that I do that much more of them, it's just that they don't sell as quickly. So like, you know, building paintings like this, which of a building, local downtown scene, I'll sell much quicker than I would a figurative one. So it looks disproportionately like I paint more figurative ones, but I really don't. I think if you go on my website, I think it's a pretty even mix of a whole bunch of different things.
So some of these buildings, and the one we're looking at right now, that's when you're painting and planning on selling. You haven't been commissioned to do it?
That's not a commission, no. No. And actually, the ones we're looking at here, I mean, this is great looking at paintings on the radio, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Right. But yeah, these are local scenes that I just find interesting. I generally try to do ones that I haven't seen done or compelling for one reason or another. That again, just interests me.
Again, and as we try to describe this, is Kenmore on the site? Is that down near the train station?
Yep. It's right behind it. It's actually right behind the Purina Tower. I don't know the full name of it, and actually, it's kind of a shell of a house or building. You know, it used to be the storage part for the Marshall Janney building. I think they stored coffee in it, but it's about to fall down, and that's kind of interesting to me, just sort of as a resident of Fredericksburg, to sort of try to capture that before it's not there anymore.
And these are around town, I guess, are the kind that, because I look at these and you think, as a someone who likes Fredericksburg, you do look at these and think, yeah, I'd like something like that.
Well, you know, the funny thing about Fredericksburg is Fredericksburg loves Fredericksburg. They sell more paintings of Fredericksburg than anything. If you wanted to try to make a living here just painting art, that's what you'd probably paint, is just local scenes, because that's what people like. Like you said, people like to have a piece of that in their house. Also, people that have moved out of the area like to have a little piece of Fredericksburg to remind them of when they lived here.
Artist Bill Harris on the All Business Podcast this week. We're at Liberty Town Arts Workshop, 916 Liberty Street downtown. How long have you been at Liberty Town?
So Liberty Town opened for business in 2001, and at that point it was just the gallery. It's where the area you first walk in at. Then the studios were slowly developed over a year or two. And in 2003, the studio started opening, I was the first to move in here. Actually, almost exactly 15 years ago. I think it was September of 2003.
You, besides sitting here and doing the paintings that I came in and you were working on something, you teach classes a number of nights or a number of days.
Yeah, I mean, Liberty Town's an interesting place because a lot goes on here. I teach four classes here during the week over 3 days. And there's a whole lot of artists that teach here, different things, pottery, jewelry making. I teach oil painting. But it's a neat place. It's pretty always something going on here. Matter of fact, you're here right now when there's a kids camp going on for the summer.
The whole teaching aspect, I mean, that really, because, I mean, there are a lot of people around here who are artists now in town that were your students at one time.
A lot of them, yeah. Sure, a lot of them have gone on and done much better work than I do, that have, you know, either made a living out of it or part-time livings out of it. And yeah, that's great. That feels good.
I was going to say that really is a whole different, I guess, gives you a different feeling.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's funny. I actually tried to avoid teaching for a while. I had a lot of people ask me many, many years ago to teach, and I was like, it didn't seem that interesting to me. But I really love it. I really do enjoy showing somebody something. I always get people say, well, you're really killing yourself because you're teaching all these people to paint, but it doesn't really work that way. Like everything that everybody else paints isn't something that I would paint. So they have their own ideas and their own thoughts.
You've been here now long enough, and your work is around town, and you're so well known for like you say, for your style. I guess for every artist, that's you want to be known for something.
Yeah, ultimately, I always would sort of compare it to music. Like if you hear a band on the radio, and you know immediately, even if you haven't heard that song, you know that's them because the way they sound. That's our visual artists need the same thing. It's funny, like I think styles sort of just develop over time. You know, you don't really try to paint a certain way. You just can't help but to paint a certain way. So that's how I am. And it's probably interesting because we were just talking about teaching. Is I've never had an oil painting class. I didn't even really go to school for art.
What?
Yeah. I didn't go to college. So after high school, I did a year of community college, and there was a little bit of art there, but I didn't really, mostly what I do, I don't draw from my year of community college.
Wow. So this has just been, I mean, you talk about self-taught, that's you.
That's me. Yeah. Yeah. All self-taught. Yeah. Didn't plan on this. And I always say my style developed out of just a bunch of bad habits that, I wasn't taught otherwise. So, yeah, that's it. It's interesting. I have a lot of people that come to me wanting to talk about going to art school and things like that. And I think that's great. And I would never try to talk somebody out of going to school. But there's a lot of people like myself and others that I know that didn't really need it. Certainly didn't need it. Not that I wouldn't have learned a lot of probably good things, but I didn't need it to do what I wanted to do.
But, and just your... I've learned just really looking at, hanging around you with different things. I mean, you're able to tell stories and express yourself so much through all of this work.
Yeah, I always think it has more to do with my childhood's growing up sitting watching television, because I think a lot of the storytelling comes probably from that. That's probably the thing I did the most growing up. I was just one of those kids that just sat in front of a TV. I played sports and got outside and all, but I was just... only child, just watching TV all the time, and I think that the storytelling probably comes from that.
Is there any artist or any certain pattern, anything that's really influenced you over the years?
No, I mean I've researched a lot of artists, and there was I could list a couple very famous artists like Vermeer or Edward Hopper or Degas, artists like that I liked and I enjoyed, and there was certain parts of their paintings that I appreciated, but I can't say one more than another. There wasn't like one that I was like, wow, yeah, I got to paint like that.
You and I, I've had great fun with you over the last few years. So it was about three different murals in town, and just watching them go up. You've got a number of murals around town, but that's different because you're dealing with the elements and working around things.
Yeah, it's different, but it's very, very similar to a painting. And I kid around about this, but it's really true. It's just bigger brushes. It's a bigger canvas, but really the process is exactly the same. I mean, the way we would lay out a mural, there are things, challenges that a mural has that a painting in a gallery or a studio wouldn't have, like the size and get climbing up on scaffolding and things like that. But once you solve that riddle of the scaffolding and working around windows, it's really not any different than a painting.
How many murals do you have you done around here?
A couple have been painted over, so I know probably close to 10, I guess, over the years. And that's over 20 years. A couple of the ones that I've done even 20 years ago still exist, and a couple of them have gone. And that's the way murals work. They're not permanent.
We are talking with artist Bill Harris on the All Business podcast this week. You were talking about the holidays and work like that. If I'm interested right now in having you do something, for something that I want to give for a gift. Yeah. When do I start thinking about contacting you?
I would say not just myself, but any artist that you're thinking of contacting for maybe something for the holidays. I would do it in the summertime. It often, myself and a lot of us artists, when it gets close to November, December, it might be too late. We might just be booked at that time. We'll often get calls like the 12th of December, like some complicated oil painting portrait of like 10 of their family members. Like, yeah, it just doesn't work that way. It just couldn't happen that quickly.
What's the most common thing you do for the holidays? Do people give you a picture and say, I want a painting of that? Or do they, how do they, what do you do?
It happens a lot of ways. Like, so I... portraits of specific people, there's a couple ways it can happen. Whether they bring me a photograph, it could be their kids or maybe somebody that passed away. I often take the photographs if somebody wants to be in a certain place. Like, so for example, if you wanted a portrait of you and your wife at Hyperion, or let's say Sammy T's, we could arrange where I would go there with you. We could take pictures of you eating there, or having coffee there, and then work that way. So it works multiple ways. A lot of times, though, it would work from them just bringing me a photo.
But think of it right now if you're thinking for the holidays.
Yeah, summer. The more time, the better. You certainly, by the time winter's here, it's probably too late.
Does that make a good gift? I mean, I would think that you get something like that, and it's kind of like a pet. It sort of depends on the person, I guess.
So this is interesting. Right behind me, this is a commission I just finished of two girls, and what we're going to do, that's for the dad's birthday, but I'm going to place it in a restaurant in town. and then they're going to take him out to dinner, and that painting will be there, and you know, he'll be shocked that the portrait is there waiting for him. And then they just take it off the wall and go home. But that's always kind of fun. And I think even the holiday portraits end up being a lot like that, like where it's this wild surprise. Yeah. And hopefully, if I did my job right, it's a good thing, you know.
That's fantastic. What a great way, though, to surprise somebody.
Yeah, we do that a lot. I work with a lot of the restaurants in town, and I always suggest that if it's going to be a surprise, instead of just unwrapping it, why don't we put it somewhere? Put it somewhere fun, make a dinner out of it, and it really makes a fun event out of receiving a commission like that.
Oh, that is. I'm glad you told me that, because that's a fascinating way to...
And the restaurants are all good about it. I know most of them, and they're all, and it's fun for them. You know, it's a fun day for them. I'm not there, but the painting is there, and obviously the people getting it are really surprised and excited, and maybe the people watching it too. It's a fun, makes it an event more than just a gift.
The art world in Fredericksburg, how has it changed in the 20 plus years?
A lot. I mean, and all for the better. I mean, it's gotten bigger, a lot more artists, and I think if you know art and you go around other cities and you see the other art being made in other cities, I think if you look at ours, it's pretty remarkable. Like, I think we have a really diverse group of really great artists. You see a lot of small cities especially dedicate themselves to like what we would call tourist art. So if there was all of us in Fredericksburg painting Carl's ice cream paintings, that you see that a lot in cities where they'll really cater to the tourism. There's artists in town that do that, but there's also a lot of artists that do a lot of random stuff that's really amazing. So I love Fredericksburg. I think it's really a good art town.
One of the things, and you've tried to harness some of that creativity, is with Art Attack that's coming up.
Yep.
That is a terrific day there where everyone's out doing their own thing.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it was trying to do, was showcase. Instead of having an event where every artist was doing the same thing, like let's say every artist was drawing in chalk, then this did was took every artist's strength, and they were able to showcase that and do their own thing instead of making them do something that they weren't really comfortable doing. And what you'll find is there's just an amazing amount of talent out there. And what we've grown, you know, this will be the seventh year. Last year we had 200 artists out there. The first year we did it in 2012, we had 65 artists. And what you found last year was a lot of artists that would previously go to the event but weren't brave enough to do it. But now they're starting to become brave enough. Normally they'll go once or twice and then feel comfortable doing it. And every time they do it, they're like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done this sooner.
Well, and the thing that I've noticed is, well, and this year Art Attack is what, the 22nd?
22nd, Saturday, September 22nd from 10 to 4.
And I know over the years, as we have talked about this, you talked about it's not just art. It can be the arts is how you've tried to do it. And I've seen more and more of that, performing arts.
Right. I think a good example of that, Ted, is that we had two different belly dancing troupes, unrelated. We had multiple bands, or not bands, musicians out there playing multiple instruments. Really anything. I mean, anything anybody can think of that's in the art world, that's great. We want that. We want the diversity of all those different things we don't even know about.
How intimidating is it to go out there and to do it with people walking by, interrupting you and all of that?
Well, I think what you find is it's intimidating for everybody. Even me, I'll probably drive out there and thinking, oh boy, what am I doing? But like the second you set up and the second you start painting and somebody comes up and says, hey, that's really cool, and you start talking, you know, 6 hours later, it's all over. You know, the truth is we don't get a lot of work done, but what we do get a lot of is interaction with the public. And one of the ideas of it initially were that people who are not around the art world never really see art being made. So this is a chance you get to see art being made and get to really talk with the artists. And it's kind of an educational day more than anything.
And it must be exciting to know. I'm sure you've got a lot of people over the years that have, like you said, have thought, I couldn't do that. And then they come a time or two and think, yeah, I think I could. And now they're part of the Art Attack Day.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. And this is from the first year of Art Attack, 2012. I was set up next to a girl in high school, a high school age girl who was drawing dogs. And here I am. I'm the founder of this. I'm the professional artist. Well, I'm standing right next to her. And all day I kept hearing, oh my gosh, will you look at that dog? That dog, that dog's so cute. And all day long, finally, I was like, will you beat it? You know, give me some space. But she's a really sweet girl. Anyway, 7 years later, I see her on Facebook. Now she's just she's almost doing it professionally. She's drawing portraits of dogs and things like that. So I think that's a good example of maybe she was intimidated the first day she went out there, but immediately she realized, hey, look, I can do this. I'm good at this.
That's interesting. It can be a little humbling.
Yeah, a lot humbling. Yeah, but all in good fun, and I don't mind that at all. I think it's fun. It's interesting those artists that are brave enough to do it for the first time, and then they're sort of emboldened at the end of the day. Well, like, wow, look, I'm good at this. People really like what I do. It really gives them a boost of confidence, like that you really couldn't get anywhere else. You're certainly not going to get it working at a home studio.
Well, it is a great day to walk along the street and watch what people are doing.
Yeah, no, that's the beauty of it. And you really have no idea what you're going to see. Such a wide diversity of artists. You may see somebody doing a really beautiful watercolor of a flower. The next one could be a graffiti artist, and then the next one could be a guy playing banjo, and then an oil painting. And you know, last year we were working on a mural down there, so. We have no idea. I mean, we, you know, going in, me and Gabe Pons, the organizers, we have no idea what artists are going to be out there, and that's exciting.
You and Gabe must be thrilled just to see how it continues to grow year in, year out.
Yeah, it's just getting to the point where I thought it would. Like, when we first did it the first couple of years, where we had 65, 85 artists, I still felt like we could get up to 500, 1,000 artists, you know, and we're getting there. You know, last year we had close to 300 register. We ended up having a little over 200 out there, but we're getting there. You know, I think we'll get there. And it's important, I think, to note that the city has got behind us in the last couple of years, is giving us funds for advertising and things like that. So the city is really behind us now.
Boy, if you got to be 500 or 1,000, you'd cover a lot of the city.
Yeah, that's what we want. I mean, we want, you know, if we had any complaints from vendors, which was some of the ones that were further out on the outer parts of Fredericksburg, we didn't have artists there. That's good. That really means that they want us to be a part of it, and we're going to try to make a better point of this year of really trying to spread out a little bit more to the farther reaches of Caroline Street and William Street.
If someone's interested in Art Attack, how do they get more information?
ArtAttackProject.com, or contact me, Bill Harris, or Gabe Pons, or Seth Cassana. Seth Cassana is really big in the organization of this. We got to know, too, and I don't have the details of this, but this is going to be the third year that Charlottesville is going to have their own Art Attack. And there's a group in Virginia that's putting together a plan to place it in 6 other cities in Virginia. So there's a chance this year it could be in 8 Virginia cities throughout Virginia. So that's exciting.
I'm sitting here with the father of Art Attack.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, it's great. I mean, it's what we envisioned, and it's exciting.
Well, like you say, I mean, I remember at the beginning where you talked about, you know, we don't know how this is going to be, but that Fredericksburg was ready for something like this.
I think Fredericksburg was ready, and I think the art world was ready for it, because really what it does is, one of the other reasons of wanting to do it was to really showcase what a great art town Fredericksburg was by, you know, look, nobody's going to do it for us. We got to get out there and do it ourselves, and it's not up to the city to do it. It's up to us to do it, and it's up to us to show how big of an art town we are, you know, and the more artists, the better.
WCHarris.com, that's the website, the best way to find out what you do?
Yeah, that's my website, yeah. You can go right to that. And I have a direct link if anybody wants to contact me right from that.
We've got to do this more. This is fun to come and talk to you in your studio.
Yeah, right. It's a lot cooler in here than out doing a mural on the scaffolding.
Artist Bill Harris, we're at 916 Liberty Street in downtown Fredericksburg, Liberty Town Arts Workshop. Stop by, see what he does. Bill, we'll do this again. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. I appreciate it.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please link, comment, and subscribe. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. You can also find us on Channel B online at b1015.com, keyword podcasts. If you'd like to talk about your business, I want to hear from you. Ted at WFVARadio.com, the best way to get in touch with me. Ted at WFVARadio.com. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Until next time, when again, we are all business.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.